I can't hear. I can't
Love
hear real.
Hope Radio.
You coming on?
Oh Lord,
we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh Lord, say Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Gonna preach your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, yeah. You've been building your kingdom. All in the house of God.
All in the house of God.
That's all right. Mothers are gonna pray your kingdom down. Oh, you better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the mothers are gonna pray your kingdom down. Oh, oh yes, you've been building
your kingdom. All over Israel.
That's all right.
Amen, amen, Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. Amen, God is just so good. I am delighted to be here, excited to be here. I got my feet up. We're going to rock and roll today because this is a marvelous day. I mean, I got my face smiling and my jaws hurting because I think I got a pretty good subject today. It's called Satan. It said, what kind of fool do you think I am? I mean, it is so good. But, you know, we're going to just talk about Satan, because we're going to tear Satan's kingdom down, because on yesterday, prophets talk about Satan and the strategies and the deceitfulness and the bait that Satan used. Amen. And I was inspired by that, and something that Brother David, the soldier, the spirit of the soldier, said on Tuesday. It just all come to mind. I guess God put it in my spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, you know, I'm here today with open hands and open heart and open mind and an open spirit with a bowed head, dear Father. I'm ready to depend on you to help me through the day, through today and through the weeks and months and years to help me bring what I have to bring, dear Lord, to our listening audience. Father God, I want you to help me to be like Nehemiah, to help me, you know, come to you for guidance, for strength, you know, for provision, for instructions, you know, and for protection, my Father. I'm asking you, as I face these tough choices and hard situations and I pleading with you to help me to remember my belovedness. Help me to remember that I am your child. Help me to remember that I am your servant. Amen. And help me to remember that I am just an agent. I represent, you know, you. And when I represent you, Father God, I represent my family, my friends, my wife, my neighbors, my kinfolks. Amen. Father God, I'm just saying, just please continue to allow me to represent the community, you know, the world around me. Help me to live today in a way that brings honor and glory and praises to you as I worship you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen, man. This God is so good. He is just so good. Amen. All right, Satan. Satan, what kind of food do you think I am? We know that Satan, he praises. You know, that old cliche said there's a fool born every minute, and there's a sucker born every minute. Well, Satan believes in that. Satan knows that. He knows that he's out there and he's fooling us every minute. Amen. Let me just give you the D-note definition, or the D-note, the definition from the dictionary telling you what a fool is a person who acts unwisely when prudent. A silly person. Amen. We're talking about Satan. What kind of fool do you think I am? Amen. And yes, and God is just so good. We're talking about Satan. What kind of fool do you think I am? You know, we know that, you know, in Matthew 12:43-45, we talk about how Satan will dwell in unclean houses because God won't be there. We know that Satan will be there. And Pastor brought this up on yesterday, and she talked about in Matthew 12:43. She said, you know, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it even other spirits, more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. You know, and what it's saying is, you know, that's how, and we don't know that our lives are just like that. They say we started something. They say, you started on a blunt and smoking a little joint. And then you say, someone said, man, that's not good for you. You should quit. You quit. They say you quit. Now you got a clean house, and then you run into that spirit again. And the homie of yours, he said, "Hey man, we have a little party. Come on over." And you go over and you take another hit, and now that was once a clean heart. That was once that straight and narrow path you was going. Now you backpedal a little bit. Now you allow Satan to come in. But this time when he came, he didn't come by himself. He came with others. He came with many. He came with the legions of friends. Now he's in you. Amen. And now instead of you doing one joint, you're doing five joints. And now you're doing ecstasies. Now you're doing oxycontin. Now you're doing fentanyl. Now you're doing crack. Now you're doing everything that you're not supposed to, because he came in back into you stronger than before, because now he brought buddies. He said, you know, man, there's a home I know he can go over, and we can just party all day. Amen. I'm just going to run over the 12 ways, I guess, to stop being foolish. Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? And we're going to just run over 12 ways. I hope I can touch on all of them, because I'm trying to help you, my brothers and sisters. I'm trying to give you the insight of, if you allow Satan to make a fool out of you, you allow Satan to ride, he's going to end up driving you. And you're going to end up going some places you don't need to be. You don't need to be there or go there. And then when you step out, it's going to be too late. Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? You know, those words, you know, I would never want to hear God say to me. Yes, you know, I know God said that, you know, about our conduct, you know, and to have God say that to you, that you're a fool, because God don't want us to call anyone a fool, because, see, God judged the heart. We cannot judge the heart like God judged the heart. So, you know, for us to call somebody a fool, and because we don't know their heart, that's wrong. That's wrong, amen? In Proverbs 19:3, it says, a man owns folly, ruins his life. And folly, you know, just means in his heart rages against the Lord. You know, we talk about a fool's maneuver and that blame shift, that tendency to blame others for our own folly, for our own lack of sense, begins way back in the Garden of Eden. You know, Adam blamed God and Eve. You know, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. You know, that's in Genesis 3, but we all know that. Now, here's Adam. It was his choice, and he's blaming God, and he's blaming Eve. And then Eve shifts the blame, and Eve, for her sin, to the serpent. Eve, you know, the serpent deceived me, Eve is saying, to be responsible for our own choice, you know. And as the Proverbs states, you know, stated above, you know, the fool looks to identify someone else. And we also call that, you know, in layman terms, cognizant distance. When you blame someone else for something that you know that you've been doing, amen. Now, you know, even Adam blaming God as the cause of his or her ruined life, rather than to acknowledge own lack of good sense, amen. Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? You know, don't become number one. I said I was going to bring up 12 points, but I'm going. Number one says, you know, is don't become a fool by falling or by failing to take personal accountability for wrong attitude and bad conduct. Amen. Proverbs 10:18 talks about whatever spreads slander is a fool. You know, and some people find it easy to badmouth others, to spread false reports. You know, slander by saying, hey, you know, here it is, have no knowledge this guy is gay, and you say, this guy is gay. And have no knowledge about this guy is an addict, and you say, this guy is an addict. Has no knowledge about this person is a thief, and you calling this person a thief. And you're spreading this slander, you're slandering this guy and his reputation, you know, because it makes you feel better. Amen? It makes you feel superior. Or more important, I guess, it's whatever the motive you might feel to make you a step higher than what you think you are. But God's word called the slander. He called the slander. He calls me. He calls you. He calls the slander a fool. Amen. Now, even one false report about a person can severely, we know this, damage his or her life, reputation, jobs, everything. But God forbid that. Such lack of good sense, such lack of folly, such folly should not proceed from my mouth. Amen. We're talking about Satan. What kind of fool do you think? Don't let Satan make a fool of you. Amen. Because Satan does it all the time. He's a trickster. He does it. Number two is, don't be a fool whose mouth gushes derogatory comments about others. The Proverbs 12 and 15 says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. What a difference. The fool says, we know, I can take care of myself. I can figure out my own life. I don't need any others telling me what to do. And, you know, we hear that, you know, when we try to talk to our brothers, we try to talk to our sisters, our cousins, we try to talk to the brothers and sisters in the hood and students at school, they're talking about, you know, I can take care of myself. You know, I know what I'm doing, you know. But in contrast, we know that the attitude of a wise man is always open. But we know that, you know, a fool will close his mind to receive. And so that's why if you don't open yourself and listen to receive, you're going to allow Satan to come in and really make a fool out of you. You know, because if you don't want to receive, they tell you, don't do this. You know, don't go to that party. Don't go, in that neighborhood because you'll get you. Then you end up getting shot. You end up getting into a fight. You end up getting arrested. You're doing something that you're not supposed to do because you are not following instruction. You're not following advice. Because you think, what? You know it all. Yeah, you the man. You know, I'm growing. You know, I don't disrespect me. You know, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, right. Wrong answer. You have to always be open to the input of any advice that someone is giving you. I mean, an older person, a wiser person, or a more experienced person. Man, I've done that. Yeah, that done that. Pitfalls. You know, if you do that, brother, you're going to get in trouble. If you say that, you're going to get fired. So watch it. Watch what you're doing. Amen. Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? Oh, amen. I mean, God is just so good. You know, and number three is don't be a self-centered fool, you know, by ignoring wise and helpful input from others. You know, you're too self-centered. I'm quite sure we all has been there. You know, where we think that the old saying is, the old cliche is, you never argue with a fool. It's consistent with biblical proverbs. Arguing with a fool will rarely get you anywhere because a fool entered the argument with the assumption, and we all know that he or she is right and doesn't need, and will rarely heed input. That's what you call a fool. I mean, never, always, you never argue with someone that you know that it's just ridiculous. Why argue with a fool? Because a fool's going to always be the fool. His opinion and his way of thinking is going to always be there, no matter what kind of facts, evidence, you know, black and white, you present before him or her. They're going to always stick to their opinion, their choice, which is totally wrong. Because they think they're ignoring your advice. They think they know it all. Amen? In Proverbs 12 and 16, it says, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Amen. That is so good. You know, a wise man saying, another cliche saying that, when you're upset, count to 10. You hear that a lot, especially, you know, in certain communities. You say, count to 10, little Joey. You know, count to 10, Johnny. You know, but does a fool really takes time to step back, count, but just hold back before your tongue starts to flickering? And, you know, That one message translation of the verse saying, "Fools have choice. Few fools have short fuses, and explode all too quickly." And that is so true. You know, we talk about a prudent man, you know, overlooking insult or offense. You know, if you know, we hear some people might call us names, and some people might do things like just scarf their shoes and you know, step on our shoes or bump into us and we up here ready to jump, you know, jump bad. You know, we ready to say something to do things that's not appropriate, that's not prudent, you know. And in Proverbs 19:11 it says, it is to one glory to overlook an offense. Did you hear me? Let me go over that again. It says, it is to one glory to overlook an offense. Think about it. Hey, man, just think about it. You know, so many relationships, broken relationships, would have never been broken if one party involved had simply been willing to overlook an offense. I mean, the offense could be so minor, and we are take that minor offense and make a molehill out of a mountain. We take that one offense and turn it from a misdemeanor to a felony. We take that one offense that someone did to us and take it to a point of tragedy. Amen. We have to learn to overlook those small offenses. Those small offenses causes divorces. Those small offenses causes, you to be arrested or you to do things that are so unorthodox that you realize after you have that Monday morning quarterback and you're thinking back and say, that play I should not have done. If I had did it this way, I could have won the game. We talking about Satan. What kind of fool do you think I am? I mean, God is so good. What kind of fool do you think I am? Number four is stop being a fool if you find yourself tolerating or even justifying your action. You know, your temper, you know, and you leave it unchecked. If you start to justify what you're doing and you know it's wrong, and you justify, man, you know, everybody's doing this, you know, I'm going to go in on I'm going to go in and walk to the party. I'm going to go in on and take a hit. I'm going to go in along and steal this. I'm going to go along and do that. You know, because I know it's okay. I need it. So-and-so is doing this. If you start justifying wrongdoing, start justifying what you're doing is wrong, but you perceive it as being right. Amen. And you're not willing to check yourself and you leave it unchecked, it will devour you. And what I mean by it will devour you, it will not only eat you up inside, but it will allow you to continue to do things that you know is against the law, that you know is against the word of God, that you know is going to damage your body. You can start leaving your life unchecked. It's going to hurt you. Amen? Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? I mean, it's just, listen to what's going on. Amen? And Proverbs 13:26, he who walks with the wise grow wise, but a companion of fools suffer harm. So who are you hanging with? A companion of fools? Using drugs with them? Yeah, companion of fools. Committing crime with them? Yes, companions of fools. Yeah. Getting upset and fighting over ridiculous stuff? Companions of fools. Your peers egging you on? Man, I wouldn't have let him mean mug me like that. Your companion of fools will allow you to suffer harm. You know, bad company corrupts good character. And we all know that. The company you keep, bad company corrupts good character. That's in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Now we know that the companies you keep will affect you. So my wife and I was watching For My Man. It's just like Snap or Fatal Attraction, these series that come on TV. And this young lady, I mean, this lady had it all going for her, and it was called For My Man. And she finished college, and she started her own business. She opened up a cosmetologist salon, and she was doing hair for celebrities, and she was going to town. She met this man, and he walked into the shop, and she said he's just like, she wasn't dating. She said that she wasn't looking for nobody because nobody could meet her expectation. And this guy came in, and he was a thug-looking guy, but he was handsome. And he's smashing his money. And she said, oh, she said, after one date with him, I felt good. She said, I felt that he could provide all my needs. And that's what she said. And here's this educated young lady, or I would call her educated fool in her action. Here she is. she went for this young man, and he didn't have a job, but he told her he had a business, right? And so she fell in love with this guy, and I just said, "For my man" is what it's called. And then he allowed her. He said, "Look, I want you to help me recruit ladies for this escort service that I've got going." And she felt that, "Oh, what the heck? I'm in love with him. He's okay." So she started recruiting ladies and doing this, and her life started going down. And before you know it, she professed that in her telling her story, that what she did live through it, he beat her constantly. He beat her the first time, and then he said, "I'm sorry, you know, it's never happened again." And then she just said that she believed him, and then he beat her again when she did something wrong. And then he started following her because he didn't trust her, because he felt, "Hey, you know, you didn't come home right away. You didn't let me know where you was going." And then she just fell into it, making all sorts of shit. He got busted, and she got busted. She realized when she was serving time that she fell for the wrong thing. She was looking for that thug that could provide for her needs, for her high maintenance type of living. So here she is she went and got involved with the wrong. She had good character, but he corrupted, you know, he corrupted everything she believed, her values. Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? And she realized she was a fool for him. He didn't care about her. He cared about his needs. He was benefiting from this. Amen. You know, after turn, we know there's a process, but if you turn yourself to the Lord and just take time for God's word and his Holy Spirit to work and start weeding out that drug habit, start weeding out that crime habit, start weeding out that gossip, that slandering, that backstabbing, stop weeding out that street walking. Start weeding out that lying spirit. Start weeding out it. It's a process. We know it's a process. We know that it will weed out that companion of fools that you've been associating with. Amen? We know that. It will weed out that companion of fools that you've been associating with. Now, five is, you being a fool, if you think you can associate with bad character and not be affected for the worse. Amen? Just like that young lady. Now, here you are, you're hanging around with it. You can't change him. His influence is more stronger than yours over you. You have none over him. And if you think you can change someone, and then you find out later, you're being changed. And unconsciously, you're doing things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. You start smoking, you start drinking, you start stealing, start doing drugs, start disrespecting, you know, others. And it goes on. Associating with bad characters. If you stay in that long enough, you're going to start doing it. You know, in Proverbs 14:17, it says, "A quick-tempered man does foolish things." Amen? So we have to watch what we're doing. We have to watch our characters. We have to watch what is developing on the inside of us. Amen. Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? In Ecclesiastes, it says, in 7:9, it says, "Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools." You know, that is so true. I've known so many people, and I'm quite sure you have also, that lost their jobs, that's in prison, that's divorced. They were shot or stabbed, arrested or for disorderly conduct, and so on, for their quick anger, being angry for nothing. Being angry because somebody stepped on your shoes. Being angry because somebody bumped into you. Being angry because somebody mean mugged you. You know, I would like to know the percentage of those that's convicted right now of violent crimes who had quick temper. And, you know, I'm quite sure it's quite high. you know, angry, quick-tempered people. You know, they're lacking in that self-control. And those kind of people tend to be more provoked and to do foolish things. You know, somebody said, man, somebody threw a rock at your dog, and you running down the street with a bat. Well, how brilliant that is. You know, you need to examine yourself, examine your life, examine what you're doing right now before it's too late. Don't let yourself off easy. Do you have that quick temper? Don't leave that unchecked. It will lead you to do or say foolish things that will get you in trouble every time. Number six says, don't be a fool by giving yourself a pass. If you have a quick temper, acknowledge to God and seek his help to conquer that anger by applying his word and by yielding to the sanctifying influence of his Holy Spirit. Oh, ain't that so beautiful? You're yielding to the Holy Spirit influence, not by your peers' influence, not by your homie influence, you know, not by those knuckleheads in the neighborhood influence, not by the addict influence, the alcoholic influence, the thief influence. You being influenced by his Holy Spirit. That is so good. In Proverbs 15:5, it says, a fool spurns his father discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Spurns means disrespecting. Fools resist proper discipline. Wise people heed to it. You know, to those of us that have raised children, we never allow them to be defiant, because you're opening that portal, as prophets will say, you're opening that portal to allow the demons to come in. You know, especially the teenagers still living at home. You know, they must be teachable, but you have to teach them to be teachable. Amen. Because we don't want them to grow up and stray and do things that's not appropriate. I want you to listen to this song, because this song is very, very, has so much meaning. And so what kind of fool do you think I am? Because it's a secular song, and I use secular songs sometimes to convey to my listening audience, because sometimes we better understand secular songs than we do spiritual songs, because secular song has a meaning, and we fall into what kind of fools we are, because, you know, we fall into love because we think we're in love, and it's only one-sided. We love him or her, but he or she doesn't love us, and we'll do for him or her, but they won't do for us, and we'll go ahead and run the whole 9 yards, and they won't even run an inch for you, and yeah, you said, I love you, but I believe him. Well, believe in God. Believe in his word. Amen. We're going to take a pause for the calls. What kind of fool do you think I am? Satan. And we're not going to be a fool for
what
you.
What kind of
Amen.
Fool? What kind of fool?
What kind of fool do you think I am? You think you can go on being him? Starting out so we had made our plan. He said I'd be your number one man.
What kind of fool
do you think I am? Do you think I am now? Think I am. What kind of fool did you think I be? You said you really, really love me. Darling, you run around all over town. You fill me up and then you let me down.
What kind of fool
do you think I am? What do you think I am now?
Think I
am. I want to be your self-control. I've got to be your number one, or I ain't gonna love you at all.
Mm-hmm.
up and then you let me down.
What kind of fool?
Amen, amen. You know, that's just like Satan. You know, we have plans for ourselves, and but yet we tend to divert from our plans and follow Satan's plans. He builds us up. He tells us, oh, you're great. You know, you can make a lot of money doing this. You know, come follow me. I give you your riches. I give you the glory that you look just that you're looking for. Just follow me. Follow me. Hey, I'm the man. And then you end up following him, and then he builds you up so high, then he'll let you down, then he'll laugh at you. He'll laugh at you. You know, that old saying I heard where this man was doing so much for Satan, and when he finally went to hell, he told Satan, you know, where's my kingdom? You know, where's my gold? Where's my riches? Satan said, you believe me? I just set you up, man. That was my plan. You don't get any of that down here. And the man just said, no, nothing, bro. This is my world here. You know, he'll set you up and then set you up for that fall, and you think you got something. Then you end up dead. You end up in prison. You end up disabled. You end up losing what you had strived for, what you wanted, planned for yourself, but you diverted. You got derailed. Amen? What kind of fool do you think I am? Don't let Satan fool you, because he'll set you up. He'll tell you I love you. He'll tell you all the sweet things you want to hear. He'll give you everything that you wanted. And then you find out it was just a facade. It was a mirage. It wasn't real. But you were striving for that, and you did whatever you wanted to do to reach that point. Oh, Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? Amen? I mean, you plan on the word of God. You know, you ask God for that anointed to walk, that anointed to talk, that anointed for the thought of him and not of your enemy. Amen. And number seven is to all heed the principle of this scripture of God's scripture. This is, don't become a fool by ignoring proper discipline, proper correction, instruction. Amen. It just, you know, I mean, you get, in my experience and decades of living, you know, you see and you receive, and you hear the teaching, you know, you observe those who have progressed well there in their walk with the Lord, but those who were what? Teachable. Those who were willing to receive. Those who have the ears to hear. Those who have the eyes to understand, to be part of God's word. In Proverbs 8:2, it says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in hearing his own opinion. LOL. Let's laugh out loud on that one. You know, I like to hear others' insight and opinions, because I think, you know, if you think otherwise, you fall prey to the ignorant belief that your opinion, my opinion, is 100% correct, and we do not need to benefit from the wisdom, the experience, the knowledge of others. You know, this is a sin of pride and a mark of a fool. You know, my wife and I, we go over the Bible and allow with each other, and often we stop and discuss things, and she is well-versed. See, I'm not too proud of it. She is well-versed on the spiritual aspect that I am. And I often receive excellent insights from my wife's comments. Yes, I receive. I'm open. And I study to show myself approved to make sure that, hey, when we discuss again, I'm going to try to be on top on that particular topic. You have to be open. You have to be able to receive in order to grow, in order to learn. Amen. Say, what kind of fool do you think I am? I mean, that's why I enjoy talk radio. Because it's not I don't enjoy the arguing, being argumentative. It gives me the opportunity to hear additional perspective and then filter what I hear and what I understand. It gives me the understanding to go to the scripture to learn the principle of the scripture and the lesson to learn from my experience and from my experience. You know, and reading the scripture, I get the revelation. Amen. Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? You know, in number 8, it says, I don't want to be a fool who insists on airing his or her own opinion. You know, few things are more obnoxious to me. I mean, it's sometimes revolting when I know thinks he has or she has all the answers to everything. You know, when it is reality, that attitude puts him or her in the category of what the Bible calls a fool. In Proverbs 18:13, it says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. That is his lack of good sense and his shame. We know a lot of person can, before you finish the sentence, they have the answer. And then when they start talking, you say, what in the heck are they talking about? I know, I can remember years ago, and we all have done this. Now, I know I'm not by myself, so don't be pointing your finger at me. Amen? And we all have done this. You know, we hear someone call you up and telling you a story about somebody, and man, it sounds so plausible, so believable. And on the surface, it seems like that person got a good case against the other person. And foolishly, you know, having just heard one side of that story, you know, we jump on board with that person. Now we're on the bandwagon. Oh, we playing the drums, we're playing the horn, you know, we doing everything, playing the guitar, we tuning everybody, tuning his horn. And then later, you know, I realized that I made a great mistake. I had foolishly answered before I listened. Because there was another side to it. And after you heard the other side, you realize, hey, you know, here it is, I'm jumping on the bandwagon, and I don't even know where I'm going. I realized, you know, I started in Chicago and ended up in Detroit. Now I'm in New York. If I'd only listened and asked questions, I would have known that I would have still been in Chicago. Amen? Say, what kind of fool do you think I am? And number 9 is a simple way to prevent becoming that type of fool is to build into your life the wisdom of the verse that says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. That's in James 1:19. And Proverbs says, it is to a man's honor to avoid strife. Every fool is quick to quarrel. You know, we're not going to quarrel with anybody. You know, you hear that say, you know, some people tell you, man, I like a good fight. I mean, it could be verbal, it could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be, you know, psychological, you know. But, you know, that kind of talk is crazy, especially when it's wrong. Amen. It is even more serious not to take action to correct your fault if you are a quarreler, if you are argumentative. That brings me down to number 10. Don't be argumentative. Only fools insist on quarreling. Ask yourself, do you like to be around such people? And if you don't like to be around those people, then you don't be one yourself. Now, we talk about that. You know, man, that person talks too much. That person likes to argue too much. But you turn around in the next 10 minutes, the next 5 minutes, the next 1 minute, you argue with the clerk. You arguing with somebody on the street. Amen. In Proverbs 21 and 20, it says, in the house of the wise are stores, choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. Sometimes we don't think. We take for granted, amen, of what we have. God is just so good. Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? You know, that we in this age of instant gratification, you know, I need it. You know, I want it. I must have it now. Where's the microwave? So you know, all of this modern planning for the future are cast aside to the desire of satisfying oneself, our urges. Amen. You know, that saving up to pay for something is a thing of the past. And, you know, we use our credit cards and we go deeper and deeper into debt because they seem something, you know, it's something that we got to have. We got to have now. And then we realize we can't even use it. We bought it because it was that urge, that self-gratification, that having it now and it. And now what is still sitting on the shelf? It's gathered dust. And what did you purchase it for anyway? But a wise person is moderate and temperate in his or her consumption of what they, you know, would like to have. And Proverbs, it states, amen, 26 and 12 says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. You think you know it all. You think you're more wiser than God. Talk to me, somebody. Proverbs 20 and 26 says, he who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. The scripture is just clear. I mean, it's clear. It's black and white. I mean, we can see this. I mean, you don't have to be rocket scientist to figure these things out. You know, individuals are professing themselves to be wise, to be smart, and thinking that they're doing this on their own might. They became a fool. And that's in Romans 1 and 22. Professing yourself to be wise, they became, you hardly know people like that. Amen? But the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. 1 Corinthians 3:19. We know this. The wisdom of the world. That's why Satan has that portal. He can just walk right through into you. And please don't allow him to do that. Amen. You have that wisdom of the world. But you want to trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And you want to lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. This is what we want to do, because if we think the world wisdom is greater than God, you might as well just continue to allow the legions to inhabit your house. And as they inhabit your house, they're getting stronger. And you won't be able to back out. You won't be able to leave, because that door to your mind, to your soul, to your spirit will be locked. Amen. Amen. Number 12, the last one says, don't be a fool, taking pride in what you perceive as your intelligence. And such wisdom I'm talking about is foolishness in God's sight. By contrast, trust the Lord. Learn his wisdom. Learn from the scriptures of the Bible. Acknowledge him and his ways, and you will be a truly wise man or woman. Are you hearing me, my beloved? Are you hearing me, my brothers and sisters? You know, I'm talking about planning your way. Don't say that I'm going to New York to start a new life, or I'm going to Paris, or I'm going to, and you start with what? Here you are, you know, you don't have a pot to pee in, you didn't pray on it, you didn't ask God for guidance. You lean into your own understanding. Look how many individuals that went out to California and they figured they're going to be a starlet and they're going to be part of this. They got into the wrong thing, became addicts, became escort servers. Look at those individuals, because they didn't plan when they went out there. They didn't pray on it. They didn't seek advice or wise counsel. They listened to their homies. They listened to people of ill repute. They listened to those individuals that know nothing, did nothing, want nothing, but they will lead you down that same path that they are walking. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Before you jump into that hot water, into that skillet, pray about it. Wait for an answer. Wait for God to tell you, this is your way. This is your life. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. Amen. Satan, what kind of fool do you think I am? Amen. I mean, this is just so great. And I just want if you're looking for, you know, that spiritual salvation, if you're looking for that help that you need, and if you're looking for that hand to pull you up, if you're looking for guidance and instruction, you know, just go to the, fall on your knees. Talk to God. You know, ask him. Surrender yourself to him. Because if you want to be saved, if you want God to come into your life, all you got to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you should be with the heart. Ask God that, and you know that this is the man that was raised from the dead, and you know that if he raised himself from the dead, you know that you should be saved, for you know that with the heart the man believeth in, and with unrighteousness and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All you have to do is confess with your mouth. Confess to our Lord Jesus Christ. Allow him to enter into your heart. Amen. It doesn't take much. I mean, come on. I mean, if you can rap these crazy songs you'd be rapping and making up these ridiculous lyrics you'd be making up, it makes no sense to others, but that doesn't make a lot of sense to you. Could do all that, then talk to God. Tell him to enter your heart. Tell him to you know, I'm confessing, Lord, you know, rap that to him. You can't rap anything. You rap all those other craziness. Rap the confession to him. Do that. If that's the only way you know how to talk to him, then rap to him. Amen. He will listen. He's there. He's going nowhere. He's there for you. Satan. Our God is an awesome God. He's way above Satan. But we cannot fall into dire situations. We cannot be the bait for Satan. What kind of fool do you think we are? And what kind of fool do you think I am? Amen. Our God is an awesome God. I'm going to turn this over right now to Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Docks. And this Thursday Thirst for Truth was brought to you and came to you under the direction of Kingdom Builder International Institute. under the direction of Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Dox. Amen. Turn this over to her. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thirsty Thursday. Are you thirsty? I thank you, Elder, for just coming forth and standing on the Word of God and just proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. What kind of fool do you think I am? Have you ever said that to someone? Have you ever been tricked by the devil? You had to think to yourself, that was foolish of me. Amen. You know, the Bible says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, the rain came down and the stream rose and the wind blew and beat up on that house, yet it fell not. Why did it not fail? Because it had foundation, and the foundation was on a rock. And then the Bible says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and put them not into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain came, and the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. Matthew 7:24. What kind of house are you building upon? Are you building upon a wise house? Or is the foundation foolish? So once you have been given the word, then we are held accountable because the word has been made available. Amen. So why do we call Lord, Lord, and we do not do what he says? I ask you to ask yourself, am I building my house on the foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ? Or am I building my house on sand? Amen. Thank you, Elder. Anytime a good word is put out there, man, it makes you feel like talking about it, and it makes you feel like being about it. Amen, amen. I just want to thank everyone for just being faithful and continue to support the ministry and continually to encourage Elder and myself. We want to ask all our listening audience to keep us in your prayers as we grow in the things of the kingdom, as we pray for you and we stand proxy on your behalf in prayer. So I say to you again, what kind of house are you building? I want you to encourage someone today. And again, if you like what we're doing, I want to encourage you to sow into the ministry, because truly we are in it to win it. And I know you are as well. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Elder, again, for just coming forth with an awesome word, allowing God to use you, and just all my listening audience. Just stay encouraged, stay safe, stay protected, stay in prayer, walk in forgiveness. And we're here every Wednesday and Thursday. I'm here on Wednesday, and Elder is here on Thursday, and we also are here on Sundays. Amen. Sunday at noon, Eastern Standard Time, on the same www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI, or you can call in 646-668-2780 And you can join us also on the Zoom call for the time being. So we want to encourage you again. We love you, and we pray in the name of Jesus that you go and you share and you tell somebody about salvation. Amen. Glory to God. And then I want to mention also that Minister Patterson is on Tuesdays. Glory to God. He's on Tuesdays at 5. We have a whole lineup. And, you know, you can call in and you can listen to the many and the different teachings. Amen. So, Father, we just ask you, Lord God, that you would keep us in your hands, that you would purge us from anything that's not like you, God, that you would show us, Lord God, the error of our ways so that we may be able to encourage other people and bring them closer to you, that we would live by your wisdom, we would talk your wisdom, we would fight in wisdom, Lord God, and we would hear your voice. So we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would keep us in all of our ways as we do the work of the kingdom. Amen, amen, amen. So I say glory to God, Shabbat the Lord, and go out and tell somebody about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless everyone, and we'll see you next week, same place, same time. Have a blessed and terrific rest of your day, because the victory belongs to Jesus. God bless everyone.
No one can, no one.